All right, before we introduce Peter today, I need to read to you an email that I received last night at 8:30. Okay, where are we? Okay, Bible, time to call and announcements. All right, at 8:36 last night, I received this email from Robert Scott Bell. Hi, Mel. Please extend my apologies to the entire Morgellons Group family. I was asked to help Jonathan Emroyd in his campaign for U.S. Senate in Virginia at the last minute. He is one of my closest friends on earth, so I am on a plane to Florida through Atlanta to meet with a major donor in support of Jonathan. Okay, please accept my apologies as I was looking forward to being with you all again and answering your questions. I will be on the phone with Mel next week to confirm the next available date to be with you all once again. And if you are interested in learning about a man of great integrity that could call me up on a moment's notice and get me to fly across the country for him, check out. And then it gives www.emordforva.com. So, he's not going to be with us, and I kind of discussed this with 3 in the morning with Peter, and Peter is ready and able to handle all of this. So now I'm going to go ahead over to the website, okay? And I'm going to get into the post, and I'm going to go one by one all the things I said the boys were going to talk about and have Peter go ahead and start with the first thing on the list and go through the list. And then each time he's done, we'll ask if there's any questions on that particular subject. And then at the end of the call, we'll take questions on any subject. But let's stay in the format so we can get everything in. So, the first thing that I wanted them to discuss was microwaves. Microwaves. Peter, what do you have to say about microwaves?
Yeah, good morning, Mel. Good morning, folks. Mel, can we go to the Lord in Prayer real quick? Can I take us to the Lord in Prayer before we start?
Good.
We always can, Peter, because, you know, I just... Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Without a doubt. Indubitably. Go.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are so encouraged and rejoicing in the fact that you've brought us together again today. Father, we ask that you keep us rooted firmly in faithfulness in 2024. We thank you for all you've done for this community to keep it live, thriving, and the health that's manifested in 2023. And Father, we ask that you grant us a spirit today of patience and peace and quiet and warmth so that we might fulfill the needs of these people here that have joined us to gather information, that we might be able to better understand this disease, these difficult times we're walking in, and that we would, of course, be inclined through prayer and through relationship to lean into you today. So we invite you in today to the conversation, Father, and we give thanks and praise and honor to you ahead of time for all you're going to do today in the next hour. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you so much, Pete. Can you tell us about microwaves?
Yeah, it's interesting. I just finished a body of study on microwave, and the powers that be have actually came up with a term for illness and sickness and difficulties to the immune system that they're calling microwave syndrome. And the name for a syndrome represents something where it could be a number of things going on or something where they don't understand exactly what it is. Thyroid syndrome is a good example of that. So what I've determined is it's downregulating our immune response, and it's affecting clotting in the blood. With the COVID environment that I'll discuss after I share what I want to share with you right now, is, of course, adding to that. So we're kind of getting hit from both ends, one with COVID, which acts sort of vascular disease, and the effect on the blood of the microwaves. So let me see if I can explain it to you folks, paint you a picture that'll make it easy for you to understand. I think you've all seen on TV, when you see your news stations or maybe in movies, the huge towers that have the discs around them. They're way up in the air. Those are the central microwave towers. Then around that, you have concentric circles that go out. And so just keep, like, taking a circle that's larger and larger and larger. And that's how the network connects from tower to tower to tower, as far as us using the particular frequencies with our phones and our computers and our devices, our laptops, to actually connect to the Internet. Elon Musk, who we all know is a billionaire, he's the owner of Tesla, the electric cars. He also has a satellite system called Starlink. So over the past decade or so, he has been just loading the upper ionosphere, or the early outer space part of what surrounds Earth with satellites. And so what we're experiencing now, I want to explain to you the difference between 1G and 5G, where we're at now. The G actually stands for generation. So first generation, 1G was talk on our mobile cell phones. 2G was second generation, which was talk and text. Then we moved to 3G, which was third generation, talk, text, and internet. And then we moved to 4G, which is where we've been for the last, I don't know, probably 7 or 8 years, maybe a little longer, which was talk, text, internet, and social platform, where you could upload videos and things of that nature. Now we're at 5G, fifth generation, which is actually a frequency issue. It's a speed issue. So it's designed to increase the manner in which we can gather and send information on our devices. Now, that said, the problem is, if you imagine a wave in front of you that slowly moves with a lot of distance in between, you can take your hand and slowly move a wave in front of you. That's 4G. Then if you take your hand and you go up and down real fast with shorter movements, that's 5G. Now, ourselves, God created ourselves, we're created, ourselves resonate at frequency. John has shared this with you guys. So the 4G wavelengths were resonating ourselves, speeding up the frequency a little bit. But the 5G has got ourselves just imagine taking a bowl of Jell-O and just really shaking it back and forth. That's what's happening at a cellular level with the 5G. So the end of the day, what I really want you to understand is it's affecting our blood. And what's happening is our blood is running around in our blood system. It's a highway, a big highway. It's going one direction, and there's no lane. So the reason that the blood doesn't clump together and stick together is it's negatively charged. So if you remember when we were younger, Mel, we would take magnets, and you could put two magnets, and they'd click together, and then if you spun them the other way, they'd repel. Remember that? You remember how we used to use magnets? So that's what our blood cells do. They're negatively charged so that they will repel one another and stay free-flowing in the blood. What the 5G generation is doing, since it's a positive charge, is it's reducing the negative charge of our blood cells, our red blood cells, and they're clumping together. So if you take like a stack of quarters and put a stack of quarters together, that would be your blood cells. It's called rouleau is the name of the disease. And so they're stacking together because the negative repelling aspect is being downsized by the 5G radiation. And that's why we're seeing so many issues with people having immune responses, respiratory, air hunger, anemia, all kinds of micro blood clots, strokes, heart attacks. It's all a result of this rapid positive downflow from the satellite that are affecting each and every one of us, and there's just no way to escape it. So that's kind of an overview I want to share with you folks. Hopefully I made it as simple as I could. It's pretty complex what's going on in physiologically, but that should give you guys an understanding of why we want to limit the times we're in front of our devices. And, of course, the best place to be, if you can, is rural environments. If you're in an apartment complex, you want to make sure that you have your bed apart from the wall where there may be several smart meters on the outside of the building. You want to have your head on the other side of the building. Everything you can with your routers in another room, your phones on airplane mode when you're traveling or not using them or sleeping. anything we can do to reduce the amount of individual assaults that are taking place is going to be a benefit for us. Okay, so there you go.
All right, so you've covered the cell phone. You've covered the microwave. You've talked about these tiles and how we got up to 5G. So yes, let's stop here and field questions on those three of the five topics. Okay?
Sounds like a good idea.
All righty. So every once in a while I get them. No. Shut up, no. All right. Anybody have a question? Now, come on, don't be shy, people. This is the time to get the answers to those questions that you forgot to write down. So anybody have a question about microwaves, cell phones, computers, 5G and towers? Hit star 5 now. Okay, good. Hi, Lori.
Hi, good morning. Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Lori. Good morning, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. Doing a little better.
Good. Glad to hear it.
So, that was the one thing that I had when my blood work came back, that my blood cells were all stacking. And this last time after being out of the protocol, my blood work came out that they weren't anymore. And that was before I started the protocol. And I remember John saying that it had to do with the that one, what's the pill now, the jelly one.
The Omega.
Yeah, that one, yeah. He said that would help break it up. Is that something that we can depend on if we keep taking it, that'll help in the situation, or?
Absolutely. The omegas are critical that you don't miss those now in this environment we're in. And there's something, Lori, that you can do, an additional blood test, folks. If you have your pens or pencils, you can write this down. The letter D is in dog or dime, dash dimer, D-I-M-E-R, a D-dimer test. Most doctors, it's an additional blood work panel. Most doctors are not familiar with it, so you may have to request it. But it's usually covered by insurance. It's just a blood draw test. And what it looks for is elevated levels of what's called fibrin, which is the clotting factor in our blood. And when we have these micro blood clots, or the clotting issues that you've resolved, thankfully, we'll see elevated fibrin. The D-dimer test will tell you if you have highly elevated levels of fibrin in your blood. That means you're having your body break down many blood clots, and you may have to take some additional strategies to resolve that. And we can talk about what those are. So it's a D-dimer test that I think everyone that's getting regular blood work, has primary care, should look into. Have that discussion with your primary care provider and have that blood work done so you can get a head start in a preventative way to make sure you don't have fibrin building in your blood. That means you've got blood clots happening, and I'll talk in a minute about what we can do for that. Okay?
Okay, well, I'm going to have you do that now before we go to the next question. But first, Lori, did you love Peter's article on WPS?
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Yep, that was so helpful. Thanks for putting that out there. That was
wonderful. Were you able to watch, you talking about the one with the Cary Rivera video?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's
a must-watch for everyone that has concerns about chlorine dioxide being equivalent to bleach, which so many people get confused about. And chlorine dioxide has been in water treatment in Europe for decades. It's also sprayed on our deli meats regularly. So it's we're already using it, but she explained how it's actually reducing autism and people on spectrum disorder, which is different levels of autism. Over 2,000 cases, and her own son has come back to normal behavior using low-dose chlorine dioxide treatments, much like we use in your protocol. So there you go. I'm glad you enjoyed it, Lori.
Yes, thanks. I passed it on to my cousin's wife, her sister. They're twins, and her sister has three autistic children. So I did pass that one on.
Yeah, you saw a lot of happy parents in the audience there. All those people are parents of autistic children. It's an incredibly hidden therapeutic. It's a heroic therapy, which means we have to be very careful about dosing and you know, following certain guidelines. But it's just an incredible tool for, it's the strongest antimicrobial known to man. And again, it's been in place, but those that run this globe, the global elitists and the government officials don't want us healthy, so they're not going to tell you guys about it. But there you go.
No. They came to my door in the days when we called it MMS. These guys, really, in black suits, skinny ties, and they said, you're going to have to decease and desist or something from calling it MMS. And we called it Magic Mineral Solution. And I fell in love with it because for the second time, it was July now in 2008, 2 years after they told me at the clinic, at the cancer clinic, I'd be dead by Christmas because there was no cure for the first confirmed case of Morgellons, a disease that doesn't exist, mind you, in Nevada. But then my friend and my prime care physician for many years, in July of 2008, started crying after I had an examination. And she said, you might die this time. Well, that was July 2008. And there I am sitting on my terrace. Now, this is why people think I'm nuts, you know, because I tell it the way it is. I'm sitting on my terrace, and I'm looking up at a beautiful sky, and there are these clouds. And in the clouds are the initials MMS. So I think about it for a minute, and I say, no, this is a God wink. I go inside to the apartment, and I go on the computer, and I put MMS, and up comes Magic Mineral Solution. And the man who brought it back to this country, or reintroduced it is a better way of putting it, because it was used before he ever knew about it. And believe me, I have always felt it was Magic Mineral Solution. We changed the name to WPS because almost every country in the world uses it to purify their water, and the government can't do anything about it, which really kind of pissed them off, but good, okay? And I told those guys, if you come back here again, you need to bring more people. And the guy said, why? And I said, well, if I had any more energy, I'd need some bail money. All right, people, it's a true story. It may sound weird, but I am weird, but it is the truth. God brought this to me, and I bring it to every one of you, and everyone who's ever been afraid of it is just not educated. That's all there is to it.
Amen.
This
and there
is a miracle.
There is a campaign.
I'm sorry, Pete. I get carried away because, you know, I brought this here.
Yeah, no worries. I want people to understand that there's been a campaign ever since, I go back a decade with you, Mel, and I am fully persuaded, as I know you are, we've had conversations, that without the WPS, I know of one person, Mike, a software engineer, he used to have a site called Morgellons Mundane Approach, but outside of him, I don't believe that I know of anyone that hasn't been able to get completely clear of symptoms without a regimen of WPS. I swear by it. It's safe when used responsibly. It was a gift to you, Mel. I remember Dennis Richards back in the day was the supplier for us. So that's changed a couple times. I vetted one supplier for you to make sure that the certificate of accuracy was in place. I don't know about the company you're using now. Certificates of authenticity on manufacturing are harder and harder to find right now. But I would suggest that everyone within earshot of my voice, and Mel will tell you this as well, that you really look to the therapeutic value. Watch that video from Kerry Rivera, The Science is Explained. You have people that, like myself, that have gotten well, and it is a very, very critical part of Mel's protocol, in my humble opinion. It's something that you've all got to take a serious look at for those of you that are trying to get through this without it. I don't know that you'll be able to do it without it, and if you can, it'll be later rather than sooner. So those are my views on it, and I just think it's really important people understand it's not bleach. It's an entirely different chemical compound, okay?
Peter, I brush my teeth with it. I water pick with it, and I haven't lost any teeth since 2013 when I drove off the cliff and lost the tooth.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad.
And, you know,
I'm
not getting any younger, and my eating habits are not as good as most of yours. But, boy, I use it. I brush my teeth with it at least twice a week, and I water pick with it at least twice a week because it works wonders on the gums. And if the gums hold your teeth, you've got to have good gums.
Absolutely. I'm glad you said that. It has oral potential as well. You just brought that forth. And you can spray it on the skin when you mix it. Mel's taught you guys how to mix it and put it in a spray bottle. It's very good for the skin. It's just an incredible tool. You can use it to clean your counters. You can use it. I used to spray it on vegetables to get the waxiness off vegetables, even when with organic vegetables. It'll serve so many useful purposes. But internally, it's going to get rid of free radicals, which we're making so many of with these infections, and it helps the body detox them out. It's incredibly therapeutic and really important that you folks take a close look at making sure you're including that in your protocol, in those protocols. It's very, very important.
Right, and once you understand it, okay, and it takes just that 1 gram, not even an ounce, 1 gram of fear out of the equation, you're able to go forward easier.
Yes.
Because fear is horrible. It's a product of the devil.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Let me go on with these questions because we got hands up. Great, great, Laurie, and thanks. And I had to bring that up, Pete, because you don't know how appreciated you are unless I poke him in the rear and to tell you.
It's an honor to be here, brother.
I'm laughing, Nancy. I know that was you. Nancy is my favorite laugher. She laughs at almost anything. I got a great joke for tomorrow. I tried it on Ruth Ann. She had company, but she said, I'm laughing so hard I almost fell out of the bed, Mel. Hang up. So I had to hang up. All right. Go ahead, Linda. Linda, question for Peter.
Yeah. Hi, Peter.
Hey, hi, Linda. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I was reading that the oxygen levels in your blood affect the mitochondria, and I found out since COVID I now have COPD, so I was wondering if a low-level, like hyperbaric treatment might help with anything, and what would you suggest for reoxygenating your blood, if there's anything you can do?
Okay, that's a great question. With Morgellons, we have something called iron disruption. The Morgellon structure, which is a particular type of cross-domain self-filamenting, highly acidic, highly electromagnetic bacteria that Clifford Carnicom has cultured in vitro in the laboratory. So we know it's gram-negative, which means it has no cell wall. But what it's doing is all bacteria actually metabolize iron, which is fascinating for people to understand. But this particular bacteria is called a cross-domain bacteria because it'll cross over with properties of viruses and bacteria and fungi. That's why this toxic blend is going on in infections internally with us. What it will do is it's pulling an electron out of the hemoglobin, the iron component of the red blood cells. And so it's changing the iron from what's called ferrous, which is like a liquid state where it can capture oxygen for delivery to the cells. It's changing it. That's called plus two, where it has a positive charge of two. It's pulling an electron away and changing it to plus three, which is the ferric form of iron, which is rust that you find on your outside, on your railing outside your lanai or whatever. So when it changes the infection, the bacteria pulls an electron away and changes the state of the iron. That's called iron disruption, and therefore our blood cells cannot deliver oxygen and respirate to the individual cells they need to. And we get air hunger, we get pernicious anemia, we have chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia. A lot of these issues are caused because the iron in the blood is being disrupted by these infections that we call Morgellons. So one of the things we can do is taking iron. A lot of people think that iron is going to help. I'm not in favor of that because iron can cause a lot of problems if it's not taken in the right glycinated form. What we can do, though, is we need to sequester the hemoglobin in our arm and keep it in that ferrous state to where it stays as plus two. Fe is the sign for iron, plus two, and that way it can capture oxygen for delivery to the cell. So how do we do that becomes the question. One way we can do that is there's something called lactoferrin. Lactoferrin is a chemical that the body, the liver makes and the body uses to deliver iron and to regulate iron and keep it in that ferrous state. Now, one of the greatest food sources that there is for lactoferrin is eggs, which is why I recommend people eat at least, you know, especially if you're early on in recovery or having air hunger or fatigue issues, that you eat at least 9 to 12 eggs a week. Make them organic and pasture-raised, but that's going to provide you with lactoferrin. So the idea is not to add more iron, because you could actually feed the infection. The idea is to sequester the iron that's in the body to keep it in that right state, and lactoferrin is what does that. You can also supplement with it, but I would advise that you just try and get it through eggs. So there you go. You know, that's what's going on in the blood before COVID. We can talk about COVID here in a little bit, which is an additional assault to the blood. But that's something we've dealt with Morgellons for quite some time. I had air hunger real bad. And when I started eating eggs and understanding that role lactoferrin was playing, it got so much better. So there you go. Hope that helps.
Thank you, yeah.
You know what else might help there, Peter?
What's that?
That nitro complex.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because doesn't it, like, help... you know, help with the blood, bring air into the system.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, as far as the hyperbaric,
I took it three times, Peter.
Uh-huh.
And man, I almost went through the roof every one of the three times. You know, I'm an up person, so I need things to calm me down. So I took nitro, and I was ready to go out and start a fight.
Yeah. Well, let's.
But, I mean, it really does. It puts some oxygen in the blood. It pumps you up. It might be good. Low energy, little bit blood problem, a little more oxygen in there.
Absolutely.
Well, I heard it affects the mitochondria too. So, isn't that kind of vital in our well-being? I mean, how do we introduce more of the oxygen into the mitochondria?
Well, in Mel's protocol, the enzyme CQ10 is doing that.
Okay.
Is giving mitochondrial support. Okay. Some of the amino acids in the thymic formula are giving you mitochondrial support. The mitochondrial, folks, for people that may not know that, it's just another Scrabble word. Imagine in your cell a big building with smokestacks. That would be like, they make energy. And they make ATP, adenosine triphosphate, which is the currency we spend for energy. And so when the mitochondria aren't supported, again, when you have the blood being affected by iron disruption, the mitochondria are affected. So make sure you could take, if you think you have additional challenges, you could take an additional, the dosing is only 50. So 100, you could take an additional CQ10 for mitochondrial support. Okay. And
a little quick update on this particular person, because mm-hmm. when we have more facts, we have better ideas. She's only here now about 5 or 6 months. She came across the country, I believe it was on a train.
Mm-hmm.
She lives out in the country and has to usually walk to go to get food and groceries and things. And I believe if I'm not mistaken, she's having skeleton degeneration in her back.
Back, mm-hmm. and neck. I just found out I have compression fractures in my neck right now. So
I understand.
I need help.
Musculoskeletal downgrading is, again, part of what the 5G regulation is doing. So what you want to do also, since you have...
Wow.
No, I would suggest that you work with her. You want to make sure that you're not too acidic. You want to make sure your pH, and so you should be checking, since you have musculoskeletal issues, your bones will demineralize to keep your internal terrain at the right pH. So you want to make sure that you're not too acidic. You want to check your first morning urination with the pH strips about halfway through your first morning urination, and you want to be between 6.2 and 7.0. And I think you might find that you'll probably be much lower than that. And every tenth of a percent, so let's say the difference between 6 and 6.2 is 0.2%. Every tenth of a percent moving in the alkaline direction is 25 times more cellular respiration. So if you're acidic, that's what this bacterial and Morgellon structure does, is it drives us acidic. The bones have to leach electrolytes and minerals to bring the body internal terrain back to pH. And then we need the magnesium in the protocol. We'll transfer the calcium back out of the soft tissue where the bones have leached it to bring your pH where it needs to be. And then we need the magnesium. We'll drive it back into the bones and strengthen the bone. So make sure you're taking your magnesium, okay, in the protocol.
Tell her what pill that is. I know what it is, but she doesn't.
That's the Magnifical?
Yeah.
Right, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many are you taking a day? Hold on. How many are you taking a day?
I'm taking one in the morning and two in the evening.
I want you to take two in the morning. Two in the morning.
Okay.
Let me finish. I now understand what you're going through. I've been talking to a lot of doctors about your issue because I'm not a doctor. Okay.
Yeah.
I do believe about our bones and everything else being affected by 5G, and I just moved my bed away from the interior wall to an inner wall because I was having back issues, and I was saying, how the hell can I have back issues here? It's a brand new bed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're on an interior wall... an exterior wall, move the bed in the middle of the room.
I got a very tiny studio, so I've got four walls and a bathroom and a little small kitchen, so there's not much moving I can do, you know. So,
guys, hang on. I'm going to merge this call with my Aunt Sandra.
Is this Lori? Is that who I'm talking to? Is it Lori?
Linda,
I'm sorry, Linda.
Right,
so, Linda,
Aunt Sandra.
Yeah, okay.
I got to call you back. We're having a conference call, but I do love you.
Okay. I love you. All right, darling. I'm home.
Bye.
You can talk. Bye.
Okay, bye. All right.
Okay.
My Aunt Sandra is older than I am, my only living relative, and the only one who, only living relative, I guess that says it all. But really, so forgive me, people. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, we first want to do no harm. So, Linda, if you're going to up it, and I don't think it's a bad idea by any means to, you're getting three forms of calcium in the Magnifical to take the additional one Mel's suggesting. But we have to make sure if we get too much magnesium in the body, it will affect the kidneys. So if you get any pain in the back in the area of the kidneys, that means you'll have to back it off again. Okay, I just wanted you to know magnesium can put a strain on the kidneys for some people. Okay.
Okay, and I about the osteoporosis, is there anything I can add to help with that?
Yeah, you've got to get your musculoskeletal system alkaline. So again, it's critical that you check your pH in the morning, okay? Apex Labs has a good strip that, or you can check with your provider, your nurse practitioner. A lot of times the physician, your primary care will give you a strip. So you don't have any additional costs, but you've got to start each day to see where you're at. And then you can talk to Mel or you can put a post up and I'll help you with making dietary changes based upon where you're acidic. But you cannot be acid with this disease. It's death. So you've got to get that strip that has colors. You've got to be between 6.2 and 7.0. When I started, I was at 5.2, which is extremely acidic. And I'm right now, I average around 6.5. It's harder for me to get it above 6.5. The Magnifigreens that John has come out with in the last couple of years helps me a lot to keep it up. So one of the things you can do is you could do a cycle. Those Magnifigreens would give you musculoskeletal support, the additional, and then, you know, avoid 5G radiation as much as you can. Okay.
Hey, Pete, I don't need as many vegetables and as many salads as I did when I was ill. So believe it or not, Pete, I've been taking between 2 and 4 Magnifigreens a day.
Yeah, they're very important for internal alkalinity. And again, if you can get alkaline, you will feel your skeletal system will improve considerably. Okay, Linda?
Yeah, thank you very much, Peter.
You're welcome, Peter.
All right.
Stay the course.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure diet has a little bit to do with it, because in her physical condition, it would be hard to want to stand up and cook and do this and do that. But we'll get into that with her in a coaching call when I get a better handle on what she's doing. All right. Yeah. So I would say, is there anybody else who has a question on these subjects that we have covered? No? So then let's go on. Now, the two next subjects that I put down we would discuss was the vaccine and what you might do if you're having negative effects because, unfortunately, you took it. And then the last subject we have is there's a new vaccine for the flu. But the flu's been around for thousands of years, and not many people die from it. But you might die from the flu shot. So no jabs. Go ahead, Peter.
So a real quick understanding of vaccinations. Vaccinations are where they take a part of a virus that may be running its course, that may be making people sick. They don't take the complete virus to where it can really hurt you, but they take pieces of it, and then pieces of it, the body will recognize it as foreign and start a mechanism in the immune system to make antibodies against it. So when the real virus comes in, you've already got the mechanisms in place in your adaptive immune system to deal with it. That's what a traditional vaccine is. The mRNA vaccines are not anything in that regard. It's memory RNA. RNA is the molecules that we use, that our DNA uses to construct proteins in our body. So what you're doing, if you've taken the injection and you've probably changed the nature of your DNA in your cells, they are now making spike proteins, which are the proteins that our immunoglobulins or our immune system uses to thwart the virus, to put it at bay internally. The problem is it's constantly making them. And as the gain of function work that's been done with COVID is it's been altered in a lab to where it's designed to mutate frequently. So what happens is if we are making from one vaccination the cells are now making, because it's the RNA has been changed, the blueprints of our cells making it, it's not going to change when it's going to be one application of an immunoglobulin or an immune response. And then when the virus mutates, it's not equipped. We need to have a new antibody form for the mutation. Now, the problem is our immune system is getting overwhelmed with these spike proteins that are continually made since we've been vaccinated that are only designed to handle one aspect of this virus. When it's mutating, we don't have the right immunoglobulins in place. And everything is getting loaded up it's called our ACE2 pathway, where these spike proteins are loading. And most of those receptors on the cells, they're all located in the lungs and the heart, which is why we're seeing so many issues with strokes and inflammation, heart inflammation, heart attacks, things along those lines. So there are some things we can do, Mel, if we have taken the vaccine. Proteolytic enzymes will break down the spike proteins and help you eliminate the ones that are continually being made by your cells. And over the course of time, your immune system will adapt and it will understand things and evolve, and then it will stop making them, which is the only defense we've got, is to not strengthen our immune system, but evolve it and make it smarter. So the things we want to take for that, if you've got your pen and pencil in hand, are the proteolytic enzymes. There's a whole group of them, one of which you take in Mel's protocol, which is the magnifazyme for Logos. If you look at the label, it's called serapeptase. Okay, and what these do is they break down organic material, cellular debris in the body that doesn't belong, and in doing so, they reduce systemic inflammation so our immune system can function better. So make sure if you're having these issues, this might be good for you, Linda, as well. Make sure you're taking your magnifazyme. And, you know, you can take an extra one of those as well. Then there are some other enzymes you could add in. One of them is called nattokinase. Mm-hmm. That's nattokinase, nattokinase. Natto is the particular bacteria that's fermented when we ferment soy. So it's very good at breaking down these spike proteins as well. There's another enzyme, and these should not conflict with the protocol as long as you discuss them with Mel first. And if you have concerns, you can talk to John as well. But the third one is called lumbrokinase. All the ASEs are proteolytic enzymes. That one is spelled L-U-M-B-R-O, lumbrokinase. And it will work in conjunction with the serapeptase in the Logos magnifazyme. So when you put the two together and you throw in the natokinase, you've got a three-way assault for proteolytic enzymes to continue to break down these spike proteins that the vaccination is causing your cells to make. The fourth thing, the last thing you can do is, there's one other one, it's not coming to mind right now, but, oh, I know what the fourth is the Logos, it's not the immuno response, it's the Inflistat. The Logos Inflistat has fungal and bacterial proteases where we'll break them down, and also includes a small amount of serapeptase as well. So when you combine the Inflistat with those three other enzymes, you've got a wonderful way to reduce the spike proteins, to reduce inflammation, and you'll reduce the effects of vaccinating if you have in huge ways. Okay? I know I gave you a lot, but it's hard to give it to you without and make it simple. Okay?
No. You're doing great. You know, Aunt Laura taught you to paint the picture, baby.
Bless her heart.
I wish you'd join us. She's probably having troubles if she's not joining us these days.
Well, she's still thriving in her health. I brought her into the understanding she had to vaccinate for her job, and she understands what I just shared with you folks and is thriving again using this particular enzyme approach to mitigate for the vaccination. Of course, she knows better now than to take any of the add-ons, what are those called, the boosters. Yeah. So.
Okay, well, let me tell you this, Pete. I started taking Inflistat over 2 years ago when they wanted me to have an operation on my torn meniscus. So I'm sitting in the hospital talking to this, I guess he was Norwegian or Swede, orthopedic surgeon, and I'm saying, oh, you can fix a torn meniscus? He goes, no, I can't fix a torn meniscus, but I would like to take some of the, what comes around the bones and stuff that they want to always get rid of.
Not sure what you mean, though.
No, I know. It'll come to me in a minute. What?
Cartilage? Calcification?
No, Yeah. He said, no, I want to go in and clean it up a little. I said, oh, how much you get for that? Because they can't fix the torn meniscus. But I have never had a problem since I took Inflistat and got a knee brace. So,
well, I don't believe that you can't fix it. That's the whole idea behind bioremediation and the bioterrain theory that John has taught us. I've actually repaired, I was told I had to have surgery, and I said, no, I can fix this. And using certain approaches, I've restored my meniscus and tendons and ligaments have strengthened along the way, and my knee is fine now. So, you know, you're wonderfully
made. Well, I'm sure my knee
is
fine too, but I take precautions, and I wear this knee brace from IncrediWear, okay? And there are two professional athletes here I've met in Houston, black men, and they both now swear, and they always come up and say hello to me and shake my hand and thank me, call me Doc, only ones who ever call me Doc, but they also are wearing the IncrediWear knee braces, and they're really thrilled with them.
Yeah, I would. That's the other enzyme, Mel, and it might help you as well. It comes from pineapples. It's called bromelain, bromelain.
Stop. I eat two pineapples a week, baby. They're on sale at the Heeb for 77 cents. They make a great, meal when you felt like you had a big breakfast. Great dinner. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what I do for preventative for your listeners is just because of these factors that are in play, because people are shedding, even since I'm not vaccinated, people are shedding the spike proteins, and they're causing these micro blood clots in the endothelial tissue, the lining of our vascular system. What I do is I will cycle in a bottle of Enflastat with serapeptase, with the magnesium, the nattokinase, I'm not using the lumbrokinase, the nattokinase and bromelain, and I will take those on an empty stomach about an hour before bedtime so they can all do the cleanup and reduce the inflammation while I sleep. So that would be a good preventative measure for you guys as well, and it shouldn't conflict with your protocol, Mel.
Well, the only thing I have to say about what you just said is I never knew you slept.
That's the other thing 5G is doing. 5G, they flipped it on in November when Verizon and T-Mobile incorporated the companies together so they could share these cell towers because they need to be closer together because of that shorter frequency I talked about. And one of the things it's doing is, again, it's affecting the circadian rhythms, the amount of melatonin that the pituitary gland makes is being affected, so our light sensitivity and the nature of our sleep patterns, our circadian rhythms, are turned inside out. But I found a fix for that too. So anybody here that has insomnia issues, take a tart cherry extract, or you can drink tart cherry juice. What it does is it contains tryptophan, which is something that'll make you really sleepy. It's the same thing that turkey has, why people get so sleepy after a big turkey meal on Thanksgiving. And it has melatonin and low-dose melatonin, food-based. So I told Mel the other night, I've taken two or three nights in a row, and I've slept three nights. What a blessing. So there you go. There's another food fix for you guys. If you're dealing with insomnia, I will make a post about it. And if you use a food-based brand, it's not going to, again, conflict or interfere with the protocol, okay?
All right. What about the new vaccine for the flu? No.
No, there's something called Miller's Review. Write this down, Miller's Review. It's a book that has the studies and the details on over 400 vaccinations all the way back to the 50s. And if you look at that Miller's Review, you can probably Google it and pull it up. You will see consistently that vaccines are creating all kinds of unintended consequences, autoimmune disease, organ failure, all kinds of problems at the DNA cellular level. We don't need that, folks. Our body is designed through the acquired immune system to take a threat or an assault and learn about it and then mitigate. Transfer different proteins in the body, make different ways to accept that challenge. The only thing we have in this environment, folks, that we're walking in, Mel, is our own immune system. We've got to evolve it. And I'm a perfect example. I walk in through the mall and, you know, I've realized that 9 out of 10 people, and I'm not boasting, that I walk by, my immune system is much more evolved than theirs. And it's because I don't do anything except let it come in contact with all the virome, the whole assault, environmental assault that we're facing. And then it will include symptoms often, and it can include symptoms that are annoying, difficult, up to and including death for people that are older or have other issues, diabetics and things like that. But it doesn't change the notion and the truth that we've got to do everything in our power to evolve our own immune systems without pharmaceuticals, using foods, and using the wisdom of some of the strategies that Mel and I teach you guys, okay? That's all we have, folks, in this environment is our own immune response. And that's what this protocol is all about, immunotherapy, bioremediation, strengthening the immune system through restoring the mitochondrial function and improving, as John loves to tell you guys, increasing the cellular energy potential. You've got 75 trillion cells. If they're all healthy, you're going to be healthy. If they're sick, you're going to be sick. So we heal from Morgellons and from these other cells, one cell at a time. And we strengthen and the body renews, constantly is renewing and restoring. And so if we enter that understanding into our thought stream, and we have to bring spirit into it as well, I believe that, you know, we need to be in a relationship with the Father, and by His stripes we are healed. The spiritual acceptance that He is the great physician and He can heal us, and then make these conscious steps that are outside the norm, the corruption that the Western medical model is has taken everyone down right now. It's a prescription to mask and suppress symptoms and never treats the underlying condition, never does anything to evolve the immune system, which is really where we have to be focused. There you go.
All right, let's see now, do we have any questions about these last couple of subjects? It's star 5 now and get the answers. Okay, very good. Linda, come on in. Come in, Linda.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I had it muted. I just wanted to find out about the infrared sauna and also the low-level hyperbaric therapy, if that would help us in any way. So.
Yes, I meant to respond. Here's the thing with the low-level hyperbaric oxygen therapies. We have part of the infections that we think we're dealing with are Lyme-related, spirochete-related, and one of them is also called Bartonella. Now, most of the infections are called anaerobic, which means they don't do well in the presence of oxygen. But, for example, I've seen some people come to a point of recovery and they just can't get all the way clear of symptoms, and they've used that the oxygen therapy, and it's made it worse. And the reason for that is Bartonella is an aerobic pathogen. It thrives in the presence of oxygen. So, again, yeah, we've got to realize, okay, we're doing a lot to help with those anaerobic, reduce the anaerobic side, and the co-infections with Morgellons are many. There's Ehrlichia, there's Bartonella, there's Babesia, which is a protozoan infection, there's Borrelia, which is Lyme, and anaplasic. There's a whole, and other mycotoxins involved. So what we have to understand is we can do a lot of good, but at the same time you can feed Bartonella, and that is not good because it is a blood disease, and again, we've got the COVID considerations. So I don't advocate for the oxygen therapies. I don't think they're needed. I got well without them, but for some people they may help. It's just if you've determined through testing that you have Bartonella, it's not a therapy you want to use, okay? It will do more harm than good, in my opinion.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't know anybody on our website who's used it to get well. I'll put it that way. We've never promoted it, and we're never going to. Because if you don't know exactly what you're doing, just like Peter said, you can do a heck of a lot more harm than good. And the first first guiding principle is do no harm.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
All right. Go ahead, Mr. and Mrs. What's their name? This is our resident current spy couple, okay? And that's Diane and Paul.
Yes. Good morning,
Hi.
You guys.
Good morning, Peter. Thanks for being here with us. I have a question regarding the treatment that they're doing now for COVID. They want to give you Paxlovid. As a treatment after you get COVID, it's like a short term to reduce symptoms. I didn't know. How do you feel about that? Paxlovid.
Well, again, the truth about Paxlovid is it's the next wave of remdesivir. Remdesivir was what the hospital protocols had to be aligned with. Families that didn't want remdesivir because they knew about the caustic nature of the drug, the hospitals would fight them on it. So what they did was, as people came into the understanding that remdesivir was a death sentence, then they said, okay, well, now we'll just bring Paxlovid forward. So it is a derivative of remdesivir. Remdesivir was a drug that was made by a company called Genentech. They did the studies in South Africa, and they found that it reduced certain infections and certain health challenges in Africa by 50%. But what they didn't tell you is within 2 to 3 years, they had 67 to 70% kidney failures as a result of it. And the people that did the studies was Genentech, which made the drug. So you want to avoid remdesivir, and Paxlovid, I may be saying that wrong, is just another derivative. It's toxic. You couldn't pay me to take it, okay? And it's going to do more harm than good, in my humble opinion. Avoid it.
Okay, and one more thing I want to add to this, okay? Ever since the creation of the evolution of bioweapons, and COVID is a bioweapon, don't misunderstand its intent.
Yes, it is.
So anything they want to give you to fix what they did to you already is probably going to hurt you even more, and maybe that'll be the bottom line to kill you. Because for whatever reason, they're just not happy with the population.
Correct.
So
I don't trust
the government. You don't want to take what the government asks you to take, okay? You don't want to do it anymore. Haven't you learned already? First Lyme, then Ancient Orange, then Morgellons, then COVID, and now a new flu shot. I know someone from our website whose nephew took the flu shot, 30-something years old, healthy as a horse, two kids, and he dropped dead 4 days later on the carpet in the living room. And they had no diagnostic or something. I mean, it's you don't want to do anything they want you to do. It's not for the good of the people anymore, this government, right now.
And what's going on in the laboratory, Diane, is they're coming out with all these broad-spectrum drugs, statins and antibiotics. And imagine a kid with a science kit, you know, that he got for Christmas in his room just throwing stuff together. That's what's happening. Mel can tell you, Diane, I set out when I was very, very sick, ravaged with Morgellons. I set out to set a goal to get well from it without antibiotics and without pharmaceuticals. I'm 70 years old, celebrate my 70th birthday, actually, on the 12th of this month. It's coming up. And I'm on zero prescription drugs, which is unheard of at my age. And I got well I fulfilled my goal. And Mel will tell you, I set out to do it without antibiotics, and I did it. And because of that, again, my immune system is so well equipped to do things without prescription drugs. It's a crapshoot with prescription drugs. There's always unintended consequences with them. I don't see why people aren't more wise in their use of letting their primary care physicians talk them into them without having a discussion about alternatives to them. It's just a very sad state of affairs within the Western model of medicine right now. So, you know, Paxlovid, avoid it. Remdesivir, avoid it. Get off as many, you know, olive leaf. I just sent John about 6 months ago some science peer reviews on the ability for olive leaf to reduce blood pressure. I've since used it with some people to get them off blood pressure. And what's interesting is my blood pressure was high and it came down when I was on the protocol. I now understand why. It was probably the olive leaf that did it. So there are always herbal and you know, plant types of food types of applications that work better than most medicines and quicker as well. So there you go, Diane. I hope you would not go anywhere near that drug.
Okay, thank you. I'll
put it this way. Go ahead, Diane.
Oh, I just said thank you, Peter. I appreciate your viewpoint on that.
You're welcome, sweetheart.
God did not put pharmaceuticals on earth. God put herbs and plants and food for you to nurture your bodies. Not
and
pharmaceuticals. I am 78 years old. I am older than Peter. Respect your oldest. And I am not on any prescription drugs whatsoever. And my last blood pressure test they took 2 or 3 times because they tell me it's impossible to be at 122 over 74 at 78 years old. Not possible. Well, it is. But... Yep. There's no pharmaceuticals in my life. I don't even take aspirins. I don't get headaches because when you're crazy, you never worry.
Well, worry releases cortisol, and those people that are having low-level stress in their life and are dealing with this disease, you have got to enter into. That's why I prayed for a state of calm and peace and quiet. You've got to reduce the cortisol that comes from low-level stress. It's just fueling all kinds of diseases, and we'll keep symptoms in play with Morgellons. Stress is a real bad thing, okay? Just so you guys
know. Right, because it's the same endorphin that you get from sugar. And so what happens when you give a bug sugar, parasites, anything sugar, it's poison. I have this one picture of a sugar cube, and every once in a while I bring it forth with 1,000 ants on it. You don't want sugar, but you also have to figure out ways to reduce your anxiety. That's why we talk about gardening, we talk about hobbies, we talk about crafts, because you got to find something to help you at times take you away from this. If it wasn't for my trains, I'd be dead.
Amen.
You crawl around on the floor for 2 years and people tell you you're going to die. And the only thing that's keeping you going is your bucket list desire to build a beautiful model railroad. Hey, I'm telling you, I'm fully persuaded
that your railroad was one of the ways that one of the reasons you got well was you reduced stress using that approach. So you're absolutely right on. I couldn't agree with you more.
That and the plants. You know, I always grew my own food when I could.
Yeah.
I mean, I started doing a lot of these things a long time ago because I could see the handwriting on the wall. I'm not a favorite child of our governments, and I never was. But I'm still going to tell you what I think is.
Yeah, now and for your audience, Mel, since you mentioned plants real quick, that's another thing that you do right. For people that can't afford medical-grade air purifiers, spider plants, and there's a whole category of plants, I don't have them in front of me, that you can put in your home that will actually purify your air. And I think that's one of the things that you have done right over the years, Mel, is you've kept your, aside from living in the mountains, a pristine area, you've kept your internal air clean through having plants. So, folks, take your research, your discovery into plants that will actually act as air purifiers, and if you can't afford a medical-grade HEPA purifier, that'll work just as well. Again, another example of plants just doing a great job, okay?
Right. Not only will you be helping with the air, but you'll give yourself something to do and to learn that will take your mind away from what's going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. We got Mr. and Mrs. What's-her-name, Diane and Paul, Paul and Diane.
Yeah, well, I hope that helps, Diane, what I shared with you.
Yes, that was very helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you have another question then, guys?
Nope, Paul doesn't have any questions right now. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else have a question? Question?
I do.
Who's I do? Sunny?
It's Sunny, yeah. Peter,
all right, I recognize your voice. She's got a real soft-spoken voice, this one. Come in, Sunny.
Thank you, Peter, for all this. Thank you, Mel.
Hi, Sunny. You're welcome. How are you doing, sister? Good morning or good afternoon, based on where you are.
Thank you. Okay, I have just a short question, two of them. She mentioned, I don't remember the lady, but she mentioned infrared. You didn't answer that one.
Yes, I can. I'd be happy to. There's far infrared, and again, near infrared, there's two types of infrared. Far infrared saunas are very good to detox the body. I'm a big advocate of them. Okay, the problem is you just want to make sure you limit the time in them. You want to check your pulse, make sure your heart isn't racing. You don't want to dehydrate by sweating too much. But far infrared saunas are very therapeutic. If you can do one or two a week, I'm a big fan of those. Now, near infrared is much more dangerous. It goes a lot deeper into the skin and it can burn. But near infrared, again, was a very important aspect of my detox and my recovery for my scalp. I got to the point where I would build up the amount of time slowly over time that I could stand under the near infrared for my scalp. And it actually was what I was able to find to get my way through. But I don't advocate for that because it's a heroic therapy that can be very dangerous if you're not very, very careful about how you use it. But the far infrared, the frequencies are different. It's a very good, very, very good detox strategy and will help a whole lot. Okay.
Okay. The other question, well, I don't take any prescriptions many, many years, or what do I do? Nothing like that. I only eat, you know, non-GMO organic food, everything perfect like that. But I don't have enough food, I don't think. And why did I even mention that? I don't know. But, okay, the oxygen, you talked about oxygen therapy, how that can make that
Bartonella.
Yeah, okay.
It's an aerobic pathogen. It thrives in oxygen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. I have been doing ozone, but not all over the body. I just take ozone water. Is that not
okay.
good?
Mm-hmm. Okay, the problem with ozone water, is this Sunny, right? Is that you say?
Yes.
Hey, Sunny, the problem, and alkaline water is another one. We don't want to take those within an hour before or after a meal because they reduce the acidity in the stomach, and the stomach slurry then doesn't digest the food and won't allow, we're already having problems with uptaking minerals. So you don't want to change the acid in the stomach using alkaline water. Ozone therapies, again, ozone generators are real good to run in your apartment or your home, but you don't want to be in there when you're running it, okay?
Right. Yeah,
and then you want to make sure you air it out when you return. But they're very good for killing airborne pathogens like mycoplasma, mold spores, things along that line. They will help in that regard. As far as ozone therapy, water, and things like that, I'm not a big advocate of those, sister, because the pH can be altered in the gut and in the stomach, and we just want the body to regulate that on its own, okay?
Okay.
Hope that helps, sweetheart.
It does. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's see now. Are there any other questions? Let me get back over here. Yes. It's going wild here. My computer's going on the fritz, I think. Not yet. All right. Let's see. There was more from Lori. Come in, Lori.
Hi. Thanks, Peter. I have another question on the vaccines. The latest flu vaccine.
Yes.
Is the RNA in that?
Oh, absolutely. The whole notion behind vaccines, what they were, and this whole new push into it. That's gain of function, if you've heard that term. Gain of function is affecting things at a cellular level, a DNA, RNA level. And remember, it all started with modified foods, you know, three decades ago. Modified foods are where they take genetically altered organisms and introduce them through gene splicing into the actual DNA makeup of fruits and vegetables, and they make them more pesticide resistant. But when we eat them, what we're finding, studies are showing, that make our stomach actually turn into pesticide factories. So avoid modified foods. But I hope that answers that. That's, yeah. Not good.
All right, Laura, you good?
Yep. Thank you.
Does that answer your question, Lori?
What?
I just, does that answer your question? I hope, Lori.
Yes, it does. My daughter said it wasn't, and she had her 7-year-old twins vaccinated, and they spiked us. What a 106 temp, yeah.
Yeah, so all vaccinations moving forward are going to be corrupted into a new technology where it causes the cells to make the defense rather than introducing a part of the virus so that the body can make its own defense on its own. It's actually rewiring the DNA in our cellular makeup and changing what it actually is doing. It's called reverse transcription. Usually the DNA tells RNA how to make proteins and enzymes and things that it needs to thrive. The body, that's how it naturally works at a cellular level. But this is RNA going in and affecting the DNA. So it's just the opposite. It's called reverse transcription, and that is the future in vaccinations and the main reason we've got to avoid them, okay? God knows what they're going to be doing, and you're going to see so much illness, sickness, and death if people continue to pursue this allopathic Western model of vaccinate, vaccinate, vaccinate. It's a death sentence, so there you go.
Okay, I'm only going to say this one more time, okay? Do not take a jab, any jab, okay? You're not going to benefit from it. If you're pressured into doing it, I would reconsider what the consequences may be if they put all this pressure on you. And I'll tell you this. Mm-hmm. Last year was the busiest year that we've had in 5 years. And considering the people that come around these days and claim they can help, that's amazing. Because in the beginning, we were the only ones 15 years ago, the only ones. And right now there are at least a half a dozen people, including nurses and all this other stuff, that say, oh, I have the answer. bullshit. If you don't have this disease, you're never going to have the answer because you're not going to be able to comprehend everything that's happening. Okay?
Yes. Yes. And, so, and let me bring one more truth for your listeners. And for you mentioned that you have your grandchildren, your daughter's kids are younger. The reason, the real truth about why they push so hard for vaccinating children is because under this Emergency Authorization Act, which is what they use to roll out the virus without the 5 to 7 years of clinical testing to see what alternative, what unintended consequence may be there, they were able to rush that process. It was called Operation Warp Speed that Fauci rolled out. The reason that that was a problem is they did that under the emergency authorization. It relieved them from liability so that no one can sue them. And the reason they pushed for it for children, folks, is if they can get the children on the regular vaccine schedule, which they try to do, it releases the children from liability issues as well. So again, it's another example of an insidious hidden agenda that was designed to remove all liability, all ability for anyone to sue whoever the distributor, manufacturer, or issuer of the vaccine is, right on down to children now, which were exempted from it, and that was why they needed to get them on the delivery schedule. There you go. They don't tell you these truths, folks, but you know, I'm happy to bring it forth for you guys. So, yeah.
Yeah, Peter and I, we rented a bomb shelter and a tank for when they come for us.
Yeah, I like that Donald Sutherland in the movie Killing Series. He goes, I don't know how to fix them. I just drive them. So I want to drive the tank.
You know, Pete, I don't know how I lived so long, bad mouthing the government, but here I am. I guess God is protecting me to a certain degree.
Well, you know, I have a greater discernment. I found God's favor, you guys, and so Mel knows this. God shows me things, the discernment that comes from relationship with Him. This is why it's so important to be in prayer and in the Word. Word, because God gives you spiritual eyes. He will show you things. And He has gifted me with a special understanding of truth, the truth that makes us free, and what's really going on in these last times, these unprecedented times we're walking in. John and I both have the same gift. Mel, to some degree, as well, has it. But, you know, I've been doing this for 10 years now, studying physiology. I've dedicated my life to it because I so much want people to know the truth, and there's so much deception out there. The Internet is full of misinformation and deception, folks. I can't even find reliable research sites that I used to depend upon. So, you know, it's a really difficult journey to find the truth in the times we're walking in. And, of course, you know, you've got Mel and myself and good people that know the Lord and that have overcome this disease. You got to lean on your own instincts and lean to us to try and bring this truth to you. The Bible says bring light to the situation, stand in the gap between good and evil, and bring salt, bring flavor to the circumstances. Mel and I do this for, we don't charge because the scripture says give freely to others what has been gifted freely to you. You know, God put His hand on Mel a couple years before me, and He put His hand on me 10 years ago, and I'm just trying to get you guys to seek out Him putting His hand on you. I've always ended Mel's calls with, God has led you here, He has His hand on you, and He will take your brokenness and work it into something wonderful. God uses disease to purify us, folks, so see your disease and see your struggles. The Bible says, rejoice in your suffering, for it leads to perseverance, which leads to character, which leads to the hope that does not disappoint, which is remission. It doesn't happen overnight. There is no silver bullet. But this science is sound. This protocol works. And it was gifted to John's father, Carson Burksteiner, 30 years ago. It's just an incredible, the whole idea of bioremediation and immunotherapy is really the way we're going to navigate through these end times with all the scourges and pestilence we're dealing with. So do everything you can to find the truth through people like Mel and myself and not your primary care physicians. It's just not the way to go. You've got to be very careful with what they're going to do in the next coming decades.
Big Farm is at my door. Quiet.
You know, Mel, I've got to get inside the church real quick to help them pull down. So I allotted an hour and 15 for you guys. So I've got to jump off here, brother.
Wait 1 second. On the count of three, let's all say thank you, Peter. One. Two, three. Thank you, Peter.
God bless you.
Hey, I love you guys. You may have to revisit this call for some of those enzymes. Mel will let me know based on what you guys want for posting. I'm happy to be back in your midst, and I'm going to keep bringing truth to you guys. And, you guys can overcome this, okay? The dogma that Morgellons is not able to be cured is just not true. I proved it out. Mel's proved it out. And many, many people over the years that we've come alongside him and I have done it. So if you stay the course and if you dedicate to these types of ideologies that we teach, you will overcome this, okay? Be assured of that, all right? Mel, thanks for letting me be here today. It's always an honor, brother.
No. Robert said that he's going to want, when he does this show, he wants you to come join him.
Yeah, I'd love to, but, you know, it's good that he wasn't here today. It gave me an opportunity to go into detail on some of these issues that are very important. Him and I are always in the same camp usually, so we compliment one another well. But, it was a blessing that I was able to be here today. Grateful to you, Mel, for giving me the opportunity.
I think it was a blessing for all of them because...
Yeah.
I know you know, but the most important thing for them is the patients. It's so much more difficult than when we got well because of all this stuff they're trying to do to all these people.
Yes. And so you guys just throw your posts up with questions or run them by Mel and he'll run them by me and we'll get an answer to you and keep you moving forward. And, you know, knowledge is everything. Knowledge is power. The word of God leads to the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God leads to the wisdom of God, or the love of God, and the love of God leads to the wisdom. So there you go. It's you guys.
All right, my brother. I'll see you later today. All right.
Yep. Yeah. All right. God bless
I'll
you guys.
I'll call you and give you the dinner menu. Go ahead.
All right. I love you. I love you, Mel. You guys take care, and we'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Pete. All right, bye, you guys.
All right. Well, he's continued all these years since he's been well to do research. And, okay, he has... He actually got fired from his job because he wouldn't take the jab. That's conviction. And he's 70, I'm 78. Neither one of us takes prescription drugs. Both have really good blood pressure numbers. And they both really survived all the stuff that they're throwing at you, but probably because we've been building our systems up for years already. Because we could see the writing on the wall and we got better. Those who stay on the basic protocol only come and talk about how they've been well for years and years and years. So, I mean, I don't know what else to say to you all, except if anybody has a question for me, I'll be glad to try. And if I can, I'll get someone who will be able to answer it, because I'm so busy trying to coach all of you guys that I really don't do a whole lot of research anymore. But I got enough people who were once sick who I got better, even though they might be smarter than me, and yet they'll come back and help me anytime, okay? Because I got them better, and they're willing to pay it forward. So, with all of that being said, we're back here tomorrow, okay? We're going to be back here with Bear and Fellowship, and I've got some good jokes. I'm trying them on Ruthie Ann in the hospital. And this call will be up either late Sunday or early Monday, so don't have any anxiety over not getting the spelling, the name, or any of that. That's why these calls are always recorded. What else can I say? Any questions before we call it a day? Okay, if anybody needs to talk to me, stay here now, because when I'm done here now, I am done. So... thank you all. Like I said, if you want to talk, don't hang up. God bless. See you tomorrow. I don't know what's next Saturday, but I know I got John coming up, Kathy coming up, Silver and Copper coming up. I got Ruth in England coming up. Probably bring Timothy, who was here and left and came back, and let him tell you his story in the not-too-distant future. Yeah. Anyway, everybody, really have a blessed day, a good weekend. And remember, if you can find anything that'll take your mind off of this, it's good, positive, and will help you get better quicker. Everybody, God bless and have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.